Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Brie.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is, well, you asked, 3.5.
Yeah, so we did the well, you asked last week, but we had such great feedback, I guess, from asking for some advice prompts over on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. And a lot of you have let us know that you really love it, and a lot of you really wanted advice, so we wanted to do a part two, just so we could get to all the amazing questions that you all sent in. So for those of you that are new here, this is different than a regular Q&A that we usually do on I Can Explain Podcast. This is where we talk about your very specific advice questions in relation. Specifically related to your relationships, friendships, family stuff, LGBTQ plus topics, and or struggles. And we give you advice that is backed up by nothing.
I would also like to say, you can't say and or struggles. It's just struggles.
It's just the struggles.
We are queer people and we are here to struggle. So.
Yeah, so we're not saying that this advice in any way is good or should be taken, but we are going to give it.
Yeah. Good advice from bad people, bad advice from good people. We say it and we'll say it again.
A little bit of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last week we had some great questions. If you haven't listened to that episode already, head back, do so. Because something that I find very interesting about a lot of the questions we receive is that a lot of them overlap.
Yeah.
Which to me in some ways is comforting, because as a queer individual, it's nice to know
that everyone's life sucks.
Yeah. Exactly. It's nice to know that we're all in this burning hell together, really. But no, it's nice to know that you're not alone. But it also says to me that if you have something that you are pondering about, struggling with, take a look back through our 100+ episodes, because more likely than not, we have talked about what you are struggling with.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about a lot.
Yeah, we could make it worse, but we probably talked about it.
100%. So I encourage you to, if you're new here, if you just jumped on the I Can Explain bandwagon in the last, 20-something episodes, I know we have had a lot more listeners, which is amazing, but there are those earlier episodes, and while the quality may be shit, I was going to say the advice is good, but the advice is terrible, too.
While the quality may be shit, it's still there.
It is there
for
you to listen to.
Yes.
And we do appreciate you listening. We also really, really appreciate wherever you're listening, if you could give us a follow, subscribe, if you could also rate us 5 stars only, very important.
It's 2020. Like, it's
we need
COVID.
What we can get.
Like, yeah. We can't handle anything less than
like,
5 stars.
Seriously. Our mental health cannot contain it.
No.
And we also would love if you went and followed us over on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. We have a link in our bio there that links to all of our merch as well as our Patreon, with some exciting new merch dropping in the next week or so. So stay tuned for that.
And this link tree may have a new addition.
Oh.
Come, I guess, when this is posted.
Yes.
We now have a TikTok.
Yeah.
So I have become the person I hate, which is Brie.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You've gone to the dark side, some might say.
Yeah.
The TikTok. Gay TikTok dark side.
It is horrible.
Yeah.
It's
frightening.
Yeah.
It really is.
But I feel like an old man, even though Brie is so much older than me, I do feel like an old man as she explains how to make TikToks. So.
Yeah. If you go follow at I Can Explain Podcast on TikTok, we already have a TikTok posted.
Yeah.
We would love if you let us know in the comments that you came from the podcast today to go check it out. We've got lots more content. Not necessarily good content,
nope,
but content
once again, yep.
Going up.
Quantity here.
Okay, so we just paused quickly because
for the first time in forever.
Yeah, we usually never do, but I was sitting here and I thought I got my period while I was sitting here and I was like, oh.
And then, so I was like, what would you have done about it? And she was like, well, I was prepared to make a tampon out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, Lauren has tampons. You could have just asked.
I didn't even go there no. In my mind. I was like, the toilet paper's going
you
up the
went
badge.
Straight to like MacGyver, like you're like on a deserted island. I guess you don't have toilet paper on a deserted island either.
People with vaginas know what I'm talking about. You have to be a little MacGyver-y sometimes.
Yeah, and then she described folding, there was a rolling action, mm-hmm. and then after the rolling action, there was another secondary folding action, so that there was no strangly bits, and she did mean stragglers or straggly bits, unless there was something strangling your vagina.
I should make an Etsy store of homemade tampons.
Maybe not. Or a TikTok how-to.
TikTok how-to might actually pop off.
Up on I Can Explain.
Because I do have it down to a science.
A poor science.
Actually, yeah, that's look out for my tampon demo on TikTok.
Yeah.
See, this is so great. Now that we have a TikTok, we have a place to put this garbage.
Yeah, because now we're a DIY channel, too.
Yeah, the tampon DIY, very specifically. Okay, so now that we've sorted that out, I did not get my period, but for those of you, once again, with vaginas, no. Sometimes when it gets in your head, then the anxiety starts flowing that you're bleeding all over the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm currently sitting on the floor.
I mean, this closet's seen some shit, so.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into our first question. The question is this. I live in a middle-of-nowhere red state, and it feels like I'm the only queer for miles. No gay bars anywhere. So many homophobes. How the hell do I find people to date?
Well.
You came to the experts here.
We have said it quite a few times, but honestly, like, online is really the easiest way to create a community. Obviously, there are safety concerns that you need to address. But yeah, online, like, really breaks down a lot of distance barriers.
Totally.
So that would be my suggestion.
I actually think I would suggest, you know, on, like, certain apps, you can set your location in different places. Sometimes you have to, like, pay premium or whatever to do that. If it were me and I was concerned about, like, where I lived being very homophobic, concerned about safety, even if I was talking to someone who was also queer, maybe them outing me or people finding out that we were together and I needed a little bit of a gap before I got out of the current neighborhood I was in, I would set my location purposely farther away.
Not, like, so
far,
though.
No, like a state over.
Or, like, the biggest blue state town in your radius.
Yeah, or even, like, the biggest main town in your state.
Yeah.
Just so you have a bit of a buffer that it's, like, you could get to them, like, you could travel to meet each other. Obviously, 2020 is not exactly the ideal year for that. But so is gay bars. You can't go to a gay bar anyways, even if you're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So I think right now, like, online is a good place to do it. I know that's such a, like, tired answer, but I don't think that there's anything wrong with dating online. Like, some people put it down.
No,
and I think
God.
Like, a great alternative, especially for queer people.
And especially in COVID, you can't really fucking do anything if you're dating anyways. So it's not like you really would be out and about because you'd probably get, like, slapped by your governor. So what's the difference about being online, you know? Or just go to, like, the closest Starbucks you can find. Like, Starbucks really, as a company, has some magical, like, chokehold over all the gays that they, like, just flock there to work.
Absolutely. So, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so just, like, put on your cutest outfit and be, like, a mysterious local in your Starbucks.
Ooh, I love that. Have you seen those mysterious local TikToks?
Yeah. In the bright
lightning, the thunder. I love those ones. Like, I don't know why. You know how certain things in life, you don't know why you find them so funny, but you do? I could watch that TikTok
absolutely
for hours. Like, just different people doing it. I find it so funny. Okay. This person said, you say you read all your comments, so I hope you read this. First of all,
gotcha.
Gotcha, bitch. First of all, I love your podcast. I stumbled into Brie while browsing gay YouTube almost a year ago and have been obsessed ever since. So I just want to say thank you for providing a space where I have been able to feel like myself, even if that space is me looking like an idiot, laughing on a walk by myself, listening to your podcast. So cute.
Oh my God.
I have told my other gay friends to listen to you, and it has been sweeping through my group. We even started a Google Doc where we break down the shows. Extra, I know. Anyways, thank you so much. Okay, that wasn't a question. I thought that was going to be a question.
Oh my God, that was so cute.
But that was so cute. That is from Michaela. I can say their first name. Michaela.
Yeah, thank you. That's so cute. Also, that Google Doc must be haunting because breaking down me and you talking, it's probably like, oh, if you go to like 13 minutes and 47 seconds, Sean calls Brie an old bitch again.
Oh my God. Okay, this just made me think of something that I've been wanting to do. So to anyone listening, if this interests you in any way, go
a Google Doc.
Go I've been itching to make a Google Doc myself. You've seen me with technology. Like, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
And the simplest thing of all time, the Google Doc. If this interests you, go over to at I Can Explain Podcast and let us know in the DMs. But I think it'd be really fun if we picked a night sometime in the next like month and just popped into people's Zooms, like group Zooms.
Oh my God, that would be so fun.
Right?
Yeah.
So like do it where like everyone just DM us your Zoom link. We'll set like a night and we'll just randomly pop into different people's Zooms and like say hey and have a drink or so whatever.
That's so fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
So if anyone's interested in doing that, like this crew
or
anyone else,
here's another idea.
Oh,
we create
okay.
a Google Doc and then we pop you so everybody sends us their Google Docs
okay.
and throughout the night we pop into different Google Docs and you just see like our cursor
that's
moving.
Frightening.
Yeah. You
like
know?
The ghost of Sean
yeah,
and
Brie. It's like
Brie
Sean and
here.
Brie's cursor's moving and then we leave.
We don't even
we don't
write
type anything. We just do a little 1-2 and then we're gone.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like a blast. But seriously, thank you so much to this person who wrote this
that
message.
That is the sweetest comment.
Yeah, we
thank
really
you.
Do read all of our messages and comments. Obviously, we cannot get back to all of them, but we take them all in and we try our best to respond to all of them on the podcast themselves. And I was just saying to my sister the other day, as much as I love the idea of everyone listening, getting some sort of value as a queer individual from our podcast, because obviously that is the goal.
Yeah.
Feeling like we have some representation or they can relate in some way or they get some advice that they actually feel like helps them. But something that makes me so happy about this podcast is when we get DMs of people just saying, oh my gosh, I'm at the gym, or oh my gosh, I'm on a walk, and I look like an idiot. I'm laughing so hard by myself. Because, like, the idea of just someone laughing with us.
Totally.
Like we do when we're just hanging out, or when we're, like, that's what we do when we're here. We're just laughing. We're having a good time. So if you're having a good time with us, that, like, that makes my day.
Yeah. Well, you're laughing.
Yeah. You're just being miserable.
As yeah. usual. It's not like I'm getting a lot of funny content from you, but...
At least you make yourself
yeah,
laugh.
Yeah, you can laugh along with yeah. Brie, you know, and I think that's beautiful.
Oh, I'm just the laugh track yeah. for this podcast.
Thank fuck I make myself laugh, though. Like, you know.
You are the most savage asshole of all time. Okay, this next up, let's answer another question here. This person says, I go to college close to my parents' house, but I live in my own apartment that my parents pay for.
Okay.
I decided to stay the night at my parents' place since my brother is visiting for Thanksgiving. My mom decided to take the ride with me to see the apartment, which is problematic because I have a huge pride flag above my bed and live in a studio apartment.
That would present some issues.
Yes. So I'm imagining this person is... literally, like, their mom just pops this up to them. Like, hey, let's go. And
yeah.
it's like, they don't have time to take down the flag. They're already with their mom. Like,
yeah.
oh, God, we're going to walk in and you're going to see the flag.
They're calling their landlord. Like, yeah. just burn the apartment to the ground.
Immediately. Yeah. Get prepared to act like the biggest ally of all yeah. time. I just like my guests to know that they're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, sorry, I left my flag here.
Oh, God. Okay. I told her she didn't have to come see it, but she refused. I immediately went to the bathroom, and she said she just wanted to sit on my couch. Needless to say, it wasn't very relaxing. We had an awkward conversation, and she now knows I'm gay. I didn't think it would be much of a shock, because we had a conversation when I was 16, and I said I was, quote-unquote, questioning my sexuality, but I knew I liked girls. She cried on our drive back to her house. But now I'm in gay purgatory. Any advice?
Well, I feel for you in your situation, especially, like, it just being thrown upon you. Because it's so hard when you it's kind of like being outed. You kind of outed yourself with that flag. Not like you should have had the flag down, but it's kind of like being outed. You don't have control over the timing or the scenario, which can be incredibly frustrating.
Oh, totally.
And especially if you're being outed by someone, like it's a very difficult situation, so I feel for you. And Bree's talked about this before, but when you come out to your parents as questioning or as bi, I think a lot of the time it's almost not taken seriously because parents have this weird view that it is a phase, you know?
And they look for the non-absolute.
Exactly. You're like, interested in girls? All right. What does that mean? Yeah. We can handle that.
Yeah, totally. Like, even with me being bi, like, I know this is not to take away the validity of bisexuality, because that's a very valid identity. But what I'm speaking from is the perspective of my parents or potentially other people in my life's minds. They took it as, oh, okay, so it means she likes guys, but she just wants to kind of like say she's kind of into girls.
Yeah.
Because they want to take it that way. You know, in their mind, they want to take the easy road in their perspective. And the easy road is to not take it as being super serious. So they look for the part of it that is something that won't change anything.
Yeah. Totally.
So,
but yeah, I think that, they look for the possibility that it could not be that. Mm-hmm. Not saying that they are against it necessarily.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think that maybe if that didn't create such a big issue to begin with, it could just be that this is, like, a lot for her to take in right now, you know? Maybe it'll just go back to it being totally fine. Mm-hmm. But having that absolute and having that realization obviously was shocking.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing. Like, I hate to give, for lack of better words, give parents an out. Because when they act like this when their kid comes out, because it can be, like, really traumatic for a child of any age to come out and have the response not be great.
Yeah.
And, or have their parent shut down or have their parent cry or have their parent, like for a lot of, in a lot of cases, that's the first time a kid could be seeing their parent cry and they feel like they inflicted it by their sexuality. Like that's a terrible burden to take on that you shouldn't feel like you have to. But I will say that I think for a lot of parents, it's just the initial shock. And I do think that if you give your mom some time and then maybe within time tell her about how her response made you feel, then it could be, in some ways, it could open up doors to communication that maybe you would have delayed for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And by the sounds of it, you know, if you were comfortable enough when you were 16 to talk to your mom and say that you were questioning or interested in girls, however you phrased it, then clearly you consider your mom to be someone that is open-minded enough that you felt safe to communicate with her.
Yeah, and if she was willing to listen to that part of the conversation initially, hopefully, I'm hopeful for you that she will come around to the more absolute side of it. And I think for me, like, a lot of my parents, I almost said sadness that I was gay, but it wasn't really that. A lot of their concern was honestly for, like, my safety and my happiness.
Yeah.
And totally. Sometimes I think it's, I don't know your situation, obviously, but sometimes it's easy to jump to that, like, emotions mean that they don't agree with your life or your sexuality. But some of it is, like, parents are concerned that this is going to be hard in your life or that you might experience more violence or hatred. It's just a very emotional, emotion-creating situation.
Totally.
So hopefully that was a chunk of what that was.
Yeah. Long story short, my advice would be just to, like, give her a breather. I think you're lucky in the sense that you have your own space. So let her have her space. You have yours. And maybe a week later, just give her a phone call and say, hey, I'd like to talk about, you know, my... You don't even have to talk about your identity. Just like, hey, let's get through what just happened.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about how it made you feel. And let's talk about how your response made me feel.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll bring you a lot closer.
And also, maybe some of the upset was that... this isn't how she envisioned finding out or how you envisioned telling her.
It's an awkward scenario for everybody.
Totally.
Because how is she supposed to, she's supposed to walk in and be like, oh.
Nice.
You know,
that would be great.
That would be great. But like,
it's not the reality a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot to it. I'm sorry that happened to you, though, because that would be, I cannot imagine that nightmare while you're driving there in the car, like, oh my God, there's no way for me to convince my mom not to come without it sounding like I'm hiding something and it being really awkward, like anxiety inducing.
Yeah. Horrible. The fact that you didn't like slash one of the tires or something is impressive to me. So.
Just drive it right off the road.
You just pop the hood and just start ripping anything you can find.
That reminds me of the time I remember there was a time when I was younger, my mom tried to take my phone away. And I had been talking to a girl, and I was horrified that she was going to find out. And I literally go, okay, like, I've never moved faster in my life. Like, rip the back off my phone, take the SIM card out of my phone, and I snapped it in half.
Oh, you said, follow me, bitch.
I said, you can have the phone, yeah, but you ain't gonna
balls
see
in your court, Dawn.
The SIM card is now toast, yeah. Honey. Like, and it wasn't even a moment of, like, me realizing that's going to mean that I'm not going to have a phone for a long-ass time, because she's going to be like, why did you just snap the SIM card of a phone that I paid for, or any of that. I was just like, the idea of her seeing that I had been talking to a girl was so horrifying to me. I got to break this fucking thing.
The only thing in your mind was that SIM card was dying.
Got to get it out of here.
Oh, remember the good old days that you could just pop a SIM card out too? You just pressed on the little door and they popped out. Yep. Now you'd be like, okay, mom. You run and find like one of those little, little tools. Okay, mom, do you have a paper clip?
Handy on you? Because I just need to do something quick. Oh my gosh. Okay. This person asked, I was wondering if anybody else has ever been filled with so much anxiety to wear certain clothes. I believe gender is fluid, clothing has no gender, hence wear whatever. But knowing that I still am so scared to ask my parents to buy me a suit or let me wear something masculine. I'm not out to them, so I think that adds to the anxiety. How do you get comfortable in wearing what you're wearing and maybe even changing up styles?
That's a great question. Yeah. I would definitely say a lot of queer people, I would say a majority of queer people feel uncomfort expressing themselves in clothing, in hair, in makeup, any of those things at a certain age.
Totally.
And I remember this just like literally gave me full flashback out of nowhere. I remember when this person said, wear a suit, this is the first thing that I thought of. I remember wearing a suit to our grade 12 dance prom thing.
Yeah.
And being so uncomfortable because I hated how I looked. And it wasn't like I wanted to wear a dress or something. I just didn't want to wear this weird, ill-fitting suit. Like, I felt so bad in it.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's what everybody else is doing.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess this is what it is.
And I remember seeing people in tight suits or something with a fun color or a fun tie. Mm. And I was even too almost embarrassed to ask for that.
Yes,
you know?
Totally.
Like, I was like, that would be a giveaway, so I can't have anything form-fitting.
Totally.
So, yeah. And I remember when I first came out, I was wearing a very short pair of shorts, and I walked to go out the front door, and my mom said, is that underwear or shorts? And that was a confidence boost. detractor. boosted my confidence. I said, underwear, bitch.
No, and I think a lot of queer people can relate to the fact that you're almost hypersensitive to not outing yourself in a way. So things that other people might just wear and not really think anything of it. Like, I can think of plenty of girls in my high school that were maybe more athletic, that played sports, that would wear, you know, more quote-unquote tomboy-style clothing that I would love to have worn. But I was trying to be so hyper-feminine to try and, like, steer away from what I thought was going to make it obvious that I was gay.
Yeah.
And this is a problem, I think, for a lot of queer people, because you're working off of society's expectations. So, like, this person knows, I knew that clothing had nothing to do with whether or not you were gay or what gender you were. But you're working off of what you worry other people's perception is going to be. So, like, now, obviously, I know very much that super feminine girls can be super gay. But in my mind, I was like, if I wear super feminine clothing, no one will know I'm gay.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was like the opposite.
Yeah.
In people's minds. And so, yeah, I was very concerned with dressing more masculinely, even though that's something that I would have been way more comfortable doing. But I think something that might be helpful is to remember that you might be heightening that for yourself because you're concerned. Like, I genuinely think back in high school, if I had worn what I wanted to, no one would have been like, oh, that means she's gay.
Yeah.
I think, like, I was kind of just putting those labels onto certain clothing items out of fear that people were going to put that same label on me.
Totally. Well, in high school especially, I didn't have a style or any style because my style was camouflage, not in the pattern. I didn't want to attract any attention to me because any of that attention could be
different.
Hey, there's attention on him now.
Yeah.
Is he gay? So I was like, I'm going to wear Quiksilver baggy jeans and some like skater shoes.
Love some Quiksilver.
But yeah, I honestly think that there's like such joy in expressing yourself through clothing and hair and makeup and all that, that if you just change how you express yourself and you're happy and comfortable expressing yourself in this way, people aren't gonna care for the most part. It also, like, there's a confidence that comes when you are expressing yourself so authentically that if people can sense that joy or that confidence, I think that's, like, just a big fuck you to anybody that has a problem with it.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, just another quick break there because I realized I was, in fact, getting my period, so I had to go and get a tampon. And I came back and I said to Sean, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't expect that to get it for another week. I really, this never happens to me. I wasn't expecting this. And Sean goes, oh my gosh, I was about to say, are you pregnant? Yes, I got my period early, so that must mean...
Listen, it's a mystery down there. I was like, Brie, we have shit to do. I don't care if you actually have your period or not. Just stick a tampon up there so we can keep going.
I'll just wear a diaper next time, honestly. Okay, this is our next question. It is, how do I navigate back into dating? It's taken a long time to heal, and I finally think I'm at the point to put myself out there again. But I'm concerned about getting involved with someone who's in the same circle as my ex or her friends. All of my prior exes I've met while living in other cities, so I've never had this experience before. That's a good question, actually.
That is a good question, but my advice is probably kind of blunt. Okay. That you just have to not care about that, or try to not care about running in the same circles because of how small the gay community is.
Yeah.
And even when I think that somebody is not in a certain circle, they have some connection.
Totally.
They've fucked someone that has, they used to date someone that has. Like, you're seeing your circle as just your circle, but they have a circle, and then that person has a circle, and then they have a one-night stand circle, and it's just a, like, the Venn diagram is a circle.
Totally.
It's like, usually 6 degrees of separation, isn't it? Something like that. There's 0 degrees of separation.
Okay, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, if you can find 1 to 3 degrees of separation, you're golden.
Yeah.
That's a sweet spot.
Exactly.
Like, you're not going to get 6.
Yeah.
You're just not going to happen. Yeah. In the same city, unless the only time it sometimes happens, and I always laugh about it, is when a friend starts dating someone right when they come out.
Right.
And they have no, like, other LGBTQ plus friends. They haven't been on the scene. They're, like, fresh out of heteronormative.
They didn't lay down roots yet.
No, they haven't.
So, fucking, like, roots.
They literally, like, got on the app last week, just came out, or just, like, are dabbling or whatever, and they, like, scoop them up before they know everyone else.
Yeah.
Fresh on the market, some might say.
Totally.
Other than that, like, if you're going to try and date someone who's been out for a while, has other LGBTQ plus friends in your same city, goes to the same bars, etc., good fucking luck.
Yep.
Honestly. Because when I met my girlfriend, Julia, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because we both know none of the same people. Because that was so rare. Anyone I had been dating or sleeping with, you know, once again, almost 0 degrees of separation with somebody else or one of my exes or whatever it may be. And the fact that Julia and I didn't know a lot of the people, I was like, wow. But then, like, 3 days in, you dig a little bit deeper and it's like, oh, yeah. There's more, like, maybe it wasn't 0 degrees of separation, but it was like 2.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't 6.
It definitely was not 6.
Yeah, and there is some almost comfort in somebody being in a circle
yeah.
that you know of, because mm-hmm. you hope at least yeah. that this roots out them possibly being a psycho because they have actual friends mm-hmm. and a circle of people around them.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I have dated people that are in no discernible circle
yeah.
and they have been psychotic. So
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, you don't know any of my friends. And I was like, oh, it's because you don't have friends because yes. you are a psycho.
It's true, because it also is nice in some ways to be able to vet that they have friends of friends, because it's like, okay, that if people want them around that I also know and like, then as much as that's maybe annoying that I don't get to make the big introduction to my group of friends as this person being like the first time that they've ever met, as most heterosexual people do.
Yeah.
Like once you get out of the high school world, like most people, if they're introducing their new boyfriend or girlfriend, it's going to be someone that maybe their friend group doesn't know at all. Whereas like, as much as that sounds nice, it's also like, you have, like, a pre-vet process,
yeah, in a and, sense. And I think my last, like, bit of advice on it is try just not... I know these are annoying things to listen to.
Yeah.
These podcast episodes.
This I Can Explain podcasting yeah. is so annoying to listen to.
Well, because sometimes you hear this advice and you're like, fuck off.
mm-hmm. Totally.
My last thing is just try not to put weight on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, try not to look for the links.
Yeah.
If they're not...
It's not apparent.
Unless you're fucking swiping through their Tinder and you are seeing your ex and all their friends.
Totally.
That's a very clear clue.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, like, try to view each new person as that, a new person.
Mm-hmm.
And you, if you have a connection with them, just follow the connection and deal with other connections
yeah.
of friends later on. Because if you find somebody that you want to date, you will both... work through it, even if you have, like, a circle that runs together.
Totally. I think that my advice is almost exactly the same, with the exception of, do not date someone who's dated your ex.
I didn't say that.
Like, no, I know. Okay. But I need to say that. For the women-loving women out there, it seems to be a thing.
Okay.
So yeah. I will say, like...
Sorry, I thought that was just a given.
for most, you'd think it would be.
Okay.
But it is not. There's a lot of swapping of exes going on
right.
around here.
Sister wives.
So I do think, yeah. So I do think, like, within reason, ignore it. But I think exactly what you said is a great way to go. If the connections or the to other people
yeah.
don't immediately pop up, then it's enough of a degree of separation.
Totally.
To me.
Yeah.
But don't go into it like, oh,
oh, they follow each other on Instagram, or they
yeah,
follow each other,
like,
on Twitter, or this one
way.
Time, you know,
yeah.
like, I think this one time I saw them at the club and they were, like, within 5 feet of each other, so that they must be friends.
Yeah, and it's like, no. Like,
yeah.
It's such a small world.
It's like, also... Our dating pool as queer people
mm-hmm.
is already so small
yeah.
that if you find a genuine connection and somebody that you want to pursue dating,
mm-hmm.
just go for it.
Yeah, I couldn't you know? Agree more.
There are far worse things than them knowing the same people. I'll
That's
tell you that
absolutely
much.
Absolutely true. Okay, last question for this episode. How do I do the coming out thing if I don't want to overwhelm my family because life is crazy right now, it being 2020?
Yes.
But is it ever a good time? I get what this person's asking, because, like, I think everyone's been there where you're trying to find the right time.
Yeah.
And long story short, no, it's never a good time, I don't think. I think the response that you're going to get is going to be within the same, nearly the same, no matter when you come
yeah.
out. Obviously, there's certain times that might be heightened stress that the response might be a little bit worse or better on certain days. You catch them on a good day.
Yeah.
good day. But I don't think...
Okay,
putting your queerness as a stress for them.
That's what I was gonna say.
Is unfair to yourself and your identity.
If they're saying, if you come out to them and they say, this year, this year, then they aren't gonna react positively any year.
Yeah.
Unless your entire family is, like, frontline COVID workers, or, like, half of them are, like, intubated right now.
Yeah.
It's just another year. You
totally,
know?
Yeah.
If they are going to love and support you,
mm-hmm.
they're going to love and support you in this garbage shit year that
yeah.
is 2020.
And I will say, there's something about, I hate using the word utilizing, but I'm going to use it. Utilizing a bad scenario as a buffer almost for coming out, in the sense of, like, hey, the world is really shit right now.
Yeah.
And it's putting a lot of things in perspective for me.
Right.
And I know a lot of people that have used this kind of way of conversation. It's coming from a genuine place. I'm not saying it's like some manipulative tactic.
Right.
But like
you
with other
them.
Yeah. With other things that are happening or have happened in the past, right? Because once again, every year there's tragedies, there's things going on, whatever. And one of my friends I'm thinking of came out to her parents after her grandpa died. And some might say that would be one of the worst times to come out because your parents are dealing with grief and everything else.
Yeah.
But in her mind, she was like, my grandpa dying made me realize it was a shame that he never knew who I really was.
Yeah.
So this was almost a perfect conversation starter to be like, hey, I know we're all going through a really hard time right now, but this is really putting life into perspective for me.
That I want to live authentically
yeah.
and be as genuine with my family while we have fucking time on earth together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think in some ways, yeah, is it a stressful year? Yeah. But in some ways, maybe using that to your advantage in a way when you're communicating to them and just saying, hey, like, there's a lot of stress going on and this year's a hard enough for everyone. I can't take on the additional burden of hiding who I am anymore.
That is a great way to phrase that, I would say.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think... bottom line, there's nothing bad about you being LGBTQ+. I don't know who needs to hear that out there, but there's 0% bad about being gay
yeah.
or queer. So I get that there's external factors that make you feel like it's going to be adding stress or badness to people's lives, like it's bad news, but that's for them to decide. Like, you're not delivering bad news. You're delivering your truth, and they might choose to hear it as bad news.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah. Tea.
All right. Well, that was another episode.
Fuck. Are you serious, bitch?
That was one of those episodes that we do here over here on I Can Explain Podcasts. What the fuck is this called? Every time we do this, I can't remember the name. What is it?
What are you talking about?
This type of episode.
Oh, well, you asked. Fuck me.
That was another one of my favorite episodes. Well, you ask. Actually, I really do enjoy these episodes. It's really fun to get.
They are my favorite.
No, seriously, yeah. To get to know listeners better, I think. A lot of people really enjoy listening to them because they find relatability in these people's stories. And I think a lot of this podcast is us talking about our experiences. So in a way, this brings more experiences to the table.
Yeah.
That we can maybe relate to in some ways, but often we can't. Like, we had the listener that lives in a small town, red state. Like, we can't relate to that. But now that brought one more experience to the table for our listeners to potentially see themselves in.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Wherever you're listening, make sure you're followed or subscribed. We also want to thank Aiden, who's our patron over on Patreon, for being so generous with your support. If you want to go check out our Patreon and the tiers, as well as our merch, you can head over to @ICanExplainPodcast on Instagram and click the link in the bio. There's obviously some more exciting stuff coming there, as Sean mentioned. And you can also follow us personally @Sean.Lusk and @BrianneWilliamson. And until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood. It's well you asked.
Well, you have.